I was called upon to sever an arm. Its telltale colour, a gangrene blue. The first few weeks at Sydney Cove were altogether so befuddling. Oh, how I longed for an hour of recline when I could test the condition of my piano, still stranded on the beach. George Wogan, surgeon to His Majesty's supply ship Sirius, First Fleet, 1788.
An Australian is someone who, when asked if they play the piano or not, replies, "Don't know, mate, but I'll give it a go." Chris Mann, poet.
I sat down to the claviers and attempted to run a scale in C major. To my dismay, none of the white keys in the four octaves to the right and the left from the centre of the keyboard would reply, owing to broken strings and dislocated hammerheads. And moreover, there were the remainder of several mice nests which I had to clean out before I tried again to get it to sound.
Dear Fanny, I write with much pleasure, as I can tell you that yesterday, just before tea, the piano finally arrived. As you can imagine, we all rushed out to greet the bullock dray. Some tragedy, though. There was a slippage en route. One corner of the piano is quite beyond repair. Elsewhere, however, the ropes have been kind, and I would suggest that our collard and collard will provide many years of service. Mrs. Charlotte Duntington, Gundagai, 1867.
Oi, nada loi.
Ya karamrang nada wale de. Dwale ngai gal kirim dwal kadur pa ngora dwangai gal kirim.
What is it? I don't know. Don't go near, don't go near. It is maybe bad spirit.
This one fell over.
But even fell over, look at it. Even fell over, look at the track here, the falling. That's bad white fella stuff. Don't touch it.
His leg's broken. Yeah, maybe it's sick. That's why they left it.
Stick
that spear in.
Stick that spear to that thing.
Strange sound. Are you making strange sound? Very strange sound. Dead one. Yeah, it's dead one, all right.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Our story we heard at dinner concerned a ship in trouble, whose captain ordered the 13 pianos on board to be thrown into the sea. And there was almost a riot on the ship, as the piano owners tried to prevent him and were shouted down by other passengers, fearing for their very lives. Captain McDermott, 1834.
As the invasion began, Aboriginal kids hammered and salt pianos, pushed from ships in desperate straits. Morning rolled them in the foam, thumped them up onto the beach.
They thought the tents would be blown away as the gales were so severe. Although living for 2 months on a sandy, windswept beach, they managed some pleasure, as they had a piano. Mrs. Edward Shenton, 1829.
Vincent Wallace arrived in Australia on the 11th of January, 1836. He left a few years later in a great hurry. In chronic debt. Mr. Wallace was presented with various pieces of music, which he played extemporaneously on the piano, introducing some brilliant variations, which excited much general astonishment. Now swelling to a lofty diapason, gradually sinking to the finest tinkle-tink. The effect of his magic fingers was electric. Sydney Herald, 1836.
Now the glorious theme. The organ's arrived. Not to be heard, but seen. It's in a bloody awful state, but still looks majestic. The will of fate. It's doomed, but there to stand, subject to the climes of this unrelenting land. Hobart Town Gazette, 1824.
I do not believe there is a country in the world where music is more widespread than in Australia. Certainly there is none that has more pianos per head of population. 700,000 instruments have been sent from Europe to Australia since the vast territory became a centre of white settlement. Everywhere here, the piano is considered to be a necessary piece of furniture. Rather than not have one of these sonorous instruments in the drawing room, they would go without a bed. Custom demands that there be at least one piano in every Australian home. Even in the most distant shacks, away from any centre of population, the humblest farmer will have the inescapable piano.
In prayer, I discovered that the black notes had scarcely been touched, and that there were tuneful notes in the key of D flat to be found by judicious management. I was called upon to provide improvised accompaniments to German, fancy French and other foreign airs of which I had not the slightest idea of the tunes. But that did not matter. The vamp pretty well agreed with the vocalist's efforts. John Cawes, Goldfield and Hotel Dance Pianist, early 1860s.
Way out in the outback, they are not so expert in music, and the piano that adorns the humble dwelling will be a cheap and nasty, constantly going wrong. But the main thing is that they look like a piano, with vulgar moulding and ostentatious double candle brackets. They make a noise when you strike the keyboard, and often that is all that is required.
It is quite useless to arrive in Melbourne as a governess if you cannot play the piano. It is a requirement for a good position. Otherwise, you will be feeding the chickens. Such is the mania for music. Teachers are everywhere. You only have to tap your foot and they come running out of the woodwork.
From time to time, a stock of 100 or so pianos,
Louisa Dermer, 1868,
will arrive in Sydney or Melbourne to be disposed of en masse and at any price. A dealer will buy the lot and take them off to God knows where. Oscar Cometon, French art jurist, 1890.
Thank you.
night, when I was not so drunk as usual, some posh fella comes over and asks me why I drink so much. I told him, I drink so as to see things different from what they is. Then I get up, I goes over to the Joanna, I implemented the ivories. I'm a former pupil of Zimmerman at the Paris Conservatoire, I told him.
It seems that there's a tolerable piano in every little cottage. One could wonder where they find room for it. And every public house has its own band of splendid, if unorthodox, music. Anthony Trollope, 1868.
Dear Sir, my apologies, but the reason why one tune is repeated so often is because hardly any other can be played. Seven of the notes from the lower octaves, which are most frequently used, are simply no more. Hugo Alpin, Wynyard Times, 19th of October, 1863.
Some places,
the ivory is off
down the creek
notes, and
of
though
tracks,
packed with sheepskins for the
drag
of the mountain,
with no scratch
the back
on it,
has become dangerously
such
loose,
a passage,
and almost all the keys
was due
have
to the
been
resourcefulness,
shot the eighth of an inch out of their places.
And tireless enthusiasm,
Mary Braidwood,
of a young man,
1845,
serving a divinity,
Yarralumla, New South Wales,
Miles Franklin, 1871.
Oh, I remember applying for a position. Played the piano, the mistress of the house demanded. Why, yes, of course, ma'am. I lied. You'll be instructing my daughters, she went on. It's so I can be sure their fingers are gamefully employed. If the piano music stops, then I'll know that they're up to no good at all. Mary McGuinness, 1872.
Perrier's Art of Vamping Method, 1890. Accompanying entirely by ear. It may be taken for an axiom that if you have sufficient ear to hear that you are playing a discord, then you have quite enough ear to guide you with trial and perseverance to obtaining a correct harmony.
Almost every working man had his girls taught to strum the Joanna. Richard Twopenny, 1883.
Elaborating accompaniments or basses to popular airs for the piano, without which they are at best but a musical corpse. Decked out with flowers. Emily Patton, 1890.
While old codgers, their heavy guts bursting out of pink tutus and tights, danced for the delight of the missionaries, their charges, the Aboriginal Arendi, would invade the dressing room and jump from the top of the piano onto the keys, creating clusters like you never heard before. Subsequently, This piano was sent down for a season or two in the cattle yards. Hermannsburg, Central Australia, 1922.
Lizzie plays at the piano, plays for the moving picture show. With an endless whirl and a rhythmic flow, and a ceaseless flitting to and fro. She fakes and vamps till her hands get cramps, and there's no tune that she doesn't know.
Ah, yes. Well, Camels, the first piano in Centralia, which is at the Old Telegraph Station, but it was made in Soho. Wardour and Company. And that was bought from Udnadatta to Alice Springs, where the telegraph line was being constructed. And it was brought on the back of a camel. And on the other side of the camel's hump, they put a drum of water to counterbalance this chintzy boudoir piano.
Hadn't seen a piano tuner for a long, long time. There was so many things to be cleaned out of the pianos, like old cockroaches and four big fat toads sitting on top of the warming bar. The warming bar had fallen to the bottom of the piano, and there they were sitting on it. They could get in. It was an English brand, and it was advertised on the iron frame has been made specially for hot climates.
It was covered in dust. Yeah, when I lifted the fall of the piano, it came away on my hands because the piano had been eaten by white ants. Sitting down at the piano, the keys were covered in mud because the piano had been caught in a flood. And when I opened it up and looked inside, I saw this sort of plimsoll line of mud halfway up the piano. And I started playing, and these white ants came out of the piano and started going around. As I was playing, they were going around in concentric circles on the front of the piano.
A rat had chewed its way into the bellows of the organ and made a great hole, so that was letting the air escape and the organ wouldn't play. So one of the wardens got some cloth and glue and paste and pasted it over the hole in the bellows, but of course he didn't realise the rat was still inside.
It gets increasingly associated with animals, creatures. Silverfish. Dogs seem particularly attracted. Chooks have a sound world which is very compatible. Mice make nests, chewing up the felt, and bits of the piano among chook feathers and oil drums and the odd dead sheep. Because that piano, which was on top of a hill on a farm in Gemelling, exposed to huge wind and rain, had settled so far into the soil that any attempt to move it would have caused the piano to probably crumble to almost nothing.
As the piano became more popular, they made it with an iron frame so that it would hold its tune. It needed maintaining far more than the reed organ. The reed organs, once the reeds were tuned, they stayed in tune for many years. So the cost of owning a piano was far greater than a reed organ. A lot of organs were used for religious purposes. In fact, it's rather intriguing that some ministers of religion were agents for the sale of reed organs.
And I heard the piano actually fall over onto its face, so to speak. Very strange. People put down their Heinekens and just, you know, stood there with their hats in their hands. Everything tends to return to the soil.
Here he was with this piano out on the front, pulling it apart. And I thought, oh, what's going on here? And he said, oh, I thought you weren't coming. I decided to pull it apart. But it would have been interesting because he'd taken some of the main structure bolts out of it without taking the strain off the strings. So if you can imagine, it could have really collapsed.
Three seams going at once, and the hands are going too.
Yeah.
The seam, I can actually do the seam to this.
Yeah.
Get made the variation, the change of time from one time to another.
I guess when I'm playing an old keyboard, sometimes I wonder how many elephants were slaughtered to actually make those keys. I mean, the figures actually of elephants slaughtered to create pianos are horrific. I think, if I remember right, it's between 1905 and 1912 that about 30,000 elephants were actually slaughtered for their ivory tusks.
Maybe it's a boat and they came up river.
Don't be stupid. Too heavy to float, sinks like a stone.
No.
Hey, open the skin. Open up the skin here. Look. Lots of black and white bones, all laid together. Black and white. Lots of bones.
Baro na zare, baro sinya zare, una zare. Ale, wale mchika man, baro din.
No touching that. Some bad things will happen. He is smell bad. Don't touch.
Why? Now zare mire, zindu mana kagula mire zare, na zare gula mire.
Let's take it back home. No, I'm not touching that. Something bad will happen. That's a bad thing. We're not going back here again. It's a ghost of white
fellow.
Dinky was growing up, so if the girls were home, if they were playing piano, he just stood up against the piano and put his head back and started to sing along. I mean, some people might say he's only howling, but that's not true, is it? Definitely not howling. And it's true, you get some, you know, different types of music with different pianists, and he just follows the tunes. Really does. He seems to wait for people to start, and then when they finish, the moment they stop, he stops.